The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Dr. Abraham George is the founder and CEO of the Shanti Bhavan School. He is the founder of the George Foundation. It's a nonprofit based in Bangalore, India, dedicated to the welfare of economically and socially disadvantaged people. Welcome to the show, Dr. George.
Thank you. Thank you, George.
So excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Well, okay. Can I go back a little bit in my life story?
As far back as you like.
Okay. Today I'm an American citizen, but for the last 56 years I've been in America, and nowadays I live in India. What happened was when I was 18, I was trained to be an officer in the Indian Army. So this was soon after the Chinese invasion of India. And I was sent to the Himalayas, the 14,000 feet above sea level, quite high altitude. And I was there for 11 months digging bunkers, blasting the rocks. I was sort of moving the Himalayas, you know. But anyway... And during that time, I was alone. I was the only officer leading some 300 soldiers up in the hills. And I had quite a bit of time to reflect on what I was doing. Though I was trained to be a good officer, I suddenly felt that there was no real purpose to my life other than killing people, trained to kill people. I'm not saying anything bad about the military's work. They have to do their job. But I'm just simply saying how I felt. And I happened to read a book by Albert Schweitzer. He's a German who won the Nobel Prize. He went on a boat to Gabon in Africa, Equatorial Africa, and set up a small clinic for tribals in the jungles. And reading his story, I was really moved and... sort of romantic too, living in the jungle with the elephants and other animals. And I wanted something like that. I was too young to contemplate how that would turn out to be. And then I read another book, which was equally important, Bertrand Russell, the philosopher, who said this one line caught me, and that is, there is nothing right about war. It's about who is left. This using right and left in a very meaningful way, caught my attention. And I said to myself, well, I need to do something with my life, some purpose in my life. But I went on to serve for 2 more years and then got discharged and then came to America. This was in the late 1960s. And ever since, I went to graduate school at NYU and things like that. Then worked for a couple of years for JP Morgan and then started my own company. I was all that time throughout my 25 years of my own business. I was thinking of making enough money to do what I'm doing today. So before I get too old, before I turn 50, I returned to a remote village in India where I don't even speak their language. It's very different. I have to have a translator all the time. And for the last 30 years, that's what I've been doing with the locals. But it was fascinating. And like Albert Schweitzer's life, you know, not knowing how to speak to the people in Africa. But anyway, so the school Shanti Bhavan was set up for children from the most deprived backgrounds. In India, you have a caste system where, so-called the lowest in the society are classified as untouchables. They can't go into the house of the upper caste. They can't take water from the well when the higher caste people are taking water. They have to live in one section of the village where the wind will not blow in the direction of the upper caste. All these demeaning rules they have set on them for 1,500 years. And while I was in graduate school and subsequently in America, and having had the opportunity, equal opportunity to go and do things and make a career for myself, I realized the importance of giving opportunity to children from those backgrounds. I looked at it from two different angles. If I'm talking too long, please stop me and I'll answer your question.
You're doing great.
The question was, how do you break the cycle of social injustice? That was in my mind. And 1,500 years of preaching to upper caste and so on hasn't done any good. Even Mahatma Gandhi tried. It didn't work. And I came to the conclusion as a businessman that the way to break it is for those who are deprived to have the opportunity to succeed just like everybody else. Go to the best schools, to even come to America in Ivy League, study in Ivy League and come back and have great success, and then they will be able to transform their families, others who are in that deprived state. So my solution, the path to social justice, runs through economic justice, not the other way around. Don't go and preach to people, you got to treat people in a socially just way. It doesn't work. They just listen and nothing will happen. Otherwise, all the preaching in the churches and the temples would have changed people, but it hasn't. So make them immensely successful. And that's what I've been trying to do for the last 30 years. Take children from the poorest to the poor, give them the best of education. Today, can you believe 12 of our kids are studying in Ivy League colleges in America, Stanford, Princeton, Duke, Dartmouth, name any, and others in top colleges in India. And this has never happened in the history of India. That many kids going on to have great success in life and in their early part of their life and have the opportunity to work in Microsoft and Cisco and ExxonMobil. These are the places they are working. It never happened before. And the lesson that people need to hear is that the we talk about nature versus nurture. And you can take children from the poorest who have no role models. Nobody in their school, in their lives, the families have gone to school, college. Yet, if you offer the best and bring them up right, both the education as well as the upbringing, if you do that, they too can succeed. They too can succeed just as well as everyone else. That's my some story in summary. I've done many other things like trying to motivate the government of India to remove lead from gasoline and empowering women. Many other projects I did, but this is in my heart because you're dealing with young lives, how beautiful it is to see them succeed.
Well, I think it's absolutely extraordinary. So great work.
Thank you. Thank you.
Great work so far, Abraham. Certainly more to be done.
Certainly.
Was it obvious to you that providing somebody with economic means would help them to trans? Do they transcend the caste system? Are they working around it? Is the caste system just based on money?
No, caste system is not based on money, but if those who belong to the lower caste have the financial means to have a nicer house or move to a neighborhood which is better, and are they are able to own some of the basic necessities of life, and their children, at least if not in their their life, but their children's life will be very different. They'll go to good schools and so on. You'll break it in one generation. And that is the first thing. Secondly, that caste is not based on the economic well-being, okay, but the social and religious underpinning of the caste system will not be visible once the person achieves success, financial success. You won't even know, because all Indians, unlike in America, you have caste based on color, okay? I don't want to use the word caste, but the discrimination is based on color. But in India, the color is not very visible. You know, I am brown. There are a lot of people of my color who may belong to the social underclass. So it's not very easily distinguishable. Where they get distinguished is their ways of living, their way they talk, their subservience to upper caste people. All those become very visible, and right away you detect that this guy doesn't belong to anything other than a lower caste. So, first of all, caste shouldn't exist in India. It is they didn't ban it, though they call discrimination based on caste as punishable by law, but they didn't remove caste. Caste still exists. Government asks for your caste. So that's a terrible situation they are in. And so I feel that with economic success, it won't be visible. And after one more generation, it's gone.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
I think that that's incredible. I'm curious how it was, if it was a challenge to get students to enroll in the school, if it was a challenge to convince parents to enroll your kids in the school, and then what other people from higher levels of caste think about it.
Yes, you asked a very good question. When I came 30 years ago and tried to tell in the villages, we went to some 50, 60 villages and told them, there is going to be a school for your children from, you know, you are extremely poor. They couldn't understand why someone wouldn't want to educate a poor man's child. This was strange. They had fear. In fact, when they heard that I came from America, oh, this guy is trying to take our kids to America and put them to bad things. And there was even rumor that I would take their lungs and heart and everything, and you know, sell them or send to Middle East for camel riding. You know, there were all kinds of stories. That is on the poor people's side, and that was spread by the upper caste people. You know, told the poor people, and they are ignorant and they believe all this. The upper caste had a different problem. They said, if all the poor people in our village get educated, and they have, who is going to work in our farm? You know, so they were very upset that the caste system was getting broken, and they even tried to burn down the school. So I was hit from both sides, and we had to be very tough with them.
Is it a challenge from a, was it, is it hard to start a school in India? Is there regulation?
No, it's not hard to start a school, but like I did, you know, I came after making some money, and I knew the system. And the system is that if you take money from the government to start a school. Then you have to follow their curriculum. They'll come and inspect. They will take bribes from you. And so I didn't want to touch the money. So I had to do it all by myself. The first 15 years, that's what I did. The second 15 years, my son and I reached out to people for contribution. And after seeing what we had accomplished, there was considerable support for this, for our effort. So we started the first Shanti Bhavan, and this year we started a second Shanti Bhavan school. And 600 children have gone through it, and some 15,000 people have benefited through it, you know, the multiplicative effect of it.
Incredible. So you make the decision that you're going to start this school. You're going into villages that you don't necessarily speak the language, to 50 to 60 villages. That sounds like a lot. Maybe it's not as many as, or maybe I'm not thinking about it the right way. I'm sure that that took an immense amount of time. And I have to imagine that as you're getting, you're hearing unusual things like you're trying to steal kids, even though you're obviously not, and this, that, and the other thing. Did you ever think about, this is just not going to work? No.
I was determined. I knew this would happen. I knew that I was in the middle of a social, you know, conflict between the upper and the lower caste, and the upper caste had dominated the lower caste. So I had to deal with the upper caste. And secondly, I had to deal with the government bureaucrats who would come to inspect and take money from me. So I knew about all this. That's why I didn't want to touch government money. And I decided to spend my own and then reach out to. Now, just so that you know, I may be jumping ahead to say to you that 75% of our donor funds come from the United States. People, a lot of them have not even seen the school. They have read about it. They have seen the videos. They trust what we are doing. And it's small donations, bigger donations. And they are reached out to helping these children from the most deprived backgrounds of anywhere. So I was prepared for it. I knew that it's going to take me some time to prove to the world this model works. And today, this whole debate about nature versus nurture, which I confronted in the beginning, everybody told me this is not going to work. You're wasting your money. Today, nobody talks because we have shown that this works. And especially in America, people don't, you know, necessarily subscribe to this kind of notions that people from poor backgrounds are useless. You know, that type of belief we don't have. We all grew up with a different philosophy. And so today I am in a much, much better situation with those types of beliefs in people. They understand that they can go to Stanford, they can go to Princeton. That's where our kids are today. How is that possible? With full scholarship, they had 95 percentile in SAT, over 90% in their board exam for the 12th grade, top of the, you know, in the international, you know, community of students applying for these colleges, our kids outshine. And so it is possible. And I was determined to do it.
I think it's an incredible thing, and it is direct evidence of what is possible. So I think it's awesome. As a parent, I see it as somewhat of a double-edged sword, that I want to give my child every opportunity that I didn't even know existed. And now that I know it's possible, that I can have my child go from this village to Stanford or wherever, to a wonderful university. So their life is probably going to be better, which is something I want, but there is the fear that they'll stay in the United States. Is that something that you've had to deal with?
See, the thing about the parents of these children, they have no clue even what America is. They heard of America. That's about it. Oh, it's a well-off country. That's all they know. The words like Stanford and Dartmouth all don't mean anything to them. That's one. Secondly, They don't believe in their own kids. They think their kids are only good to be some low-level jobs. The idea that they can go to college and do masters and be very immensely successful in a corporation, it's not something they really believe in. And so now they are hearing these kids have gone to America in good colleges. Suddenly there is an awakening among them. But still they don't know what this is all about. That is one thing. And but they are excited about the idea. In the beginning, no, not at all. The second thing is that these parents cannot wait very long. They are very, very poor. They are trying to survive on one meal a day and in a leaking roof and so on. They have put their children through 14 years of schooling with me. Now I'm telling them another 4 years in some American university, 18 years. You say, we are going to be dead by then, you know? So we can't be waiting like this. We need money. Get them some job. And so it's a. We have a lot of convincing to do, and then they suddenly realize now that it is better to wait another 4 more years, and then they start making money, and their families will be better off.
How much money are these families living on a daily basis? Is that
Most of them live on $2 a day. $2. We take children up to $4 for a family. Or three or four. If their income is above $4 a day, we don't take them. They're not considered very poor.
got it. Well, that would be compelling then if I have a child or two children and they can earn 25 cents a day. Like, I would rather have them working. That would be
Right.
short-sighted, obviously. But
Exactly.
oh.
Yeah, hard to imagine because for us living in America, one Starbucks coffee takes care of a whole family, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So now that you have evidence that you can, are more students coming in? You mentioned you built a second school. What does the future look like?
The future is based on the impact the children will create in the world. All of them transform their families as soon as they get jobs. They start, rebuilding their homes or moving to another house, making sure that food is, available to them, send their siblings to schools and colleges, get their sisters married because there's a dowry system in India. You have to give money to get a daughter married. And most important of all is the parents have accumulated huge debt at exorbitant interest rates, from money lenders, not from banks. And so they are paying back those loans and get the parents out of the family out of debt. So they have to take care of these things. That takes a couple of years. And then their goal is to save enough money to go and study for their master's. So there are many compelling needs they have. Once that is done, it may take 3, 4 years, 5 years maybe. Then they are in a position to reach out and do other things for the larger community. Maybe 10 years. I don't know when that is. So the future of Shantibhavan is predicated on the assumption that these children not only take care of their blood relatives, but they will reach out to the rest of the society or the world at large. And if they do, then the multiplicative effect is so large that one child will probably carry 100 others. That's what I hope will happen in their lifetime. That's what we teach them to do. It doesn't matter whether they're the beneficiaries in India or in Africa, wherever the need is the most, they should reach out. Don't discriminate. They should not discriminate some other poor person based on nationality, color, or anything of that kind. So this is a constant struggle to indoctrinate them, think very differently beyond their own blood. And they do understand that, and hopefully they will act on it.
Well, you set out to change the world, and it sounds like you're doing exactly that. And each one of these students, as they make their way and change their lives, then they'll help in that mission and vision as well as you just described. So,
Right.
congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you. If you don't mind, if I'm running out of time, I just want to say to the listeners, if they want to know more about the school, they can just Google my name, Abraham George, and you'll run into a website. Or they can Google the name Shanti Bhavan. That may be a little more complicated, but just my name, Abraham George, Abraham Lincoln, and George Washington, you are okay. And you'll hit that's the information you need.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Dr. Abraham George your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to shantibhavanchildren.org, and I will link that in the notes of the show. And I'll also link all the other places you can find Dr. George. And certainly, if you're as interested as I am and impressed and hopeful, as I am for the future that he's helping to create, learn more and get involved however you can. Thanks again, Dr. George.
Thank you, George. Thank you for inviting me. Thank you very much.
Till
Bye-bye.
next time, remember, do your part
Bye.
by doing your best.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Stop by Sherwin-Williams and get 30% off select paints and stains June 13th through the 23rd. It's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Refresh your home inside and out with colors that make every space feel brand new. From cozy interiors to stunning exteriors, we've got the perfect shade for your next project. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.